But I just in that brief moment, I saw smiles and I saw tears. There's so much that comes to our mind when we start just talking about Jesus and who he is. And I was trying to decide if I should disclose this, because I do not want this to be something that draws attention to me. But I want you guys to get the gravity of the message this morning, because ever since day one of preaching, I kind of decided, oh, you know, it'd be a good idea to spend some time in prayer. So before I crack the book open, I've always just dedicated 30 minutes of time just to pray before I even start studying or anything. And so that's just been kind of my continual practice you pray throughout. But this message, I was praying for an hour and a half before I even cracked the book, and then continued on in prayer, because I think it's so important to how we function here as a body of believers together. And we've been talking a lot about this Harvester series. A lot of it's been looking at what do we do outwards? What are we doing to affect and impact the world around us? But today it's going to be about how do we speak the gospel to each other as believers amongst ourselves. And so just to go over a little bit of review, we are finally in message 8 of this series. We've been going at it for a long time. And so message 8 today is going to be gospel to the believers. So the first one, just to do a little review here, was know enough. We talked about being made in God's image in the beginning. To be human is to know enough. And pray that God would give you a burden to be a harvester. And then Jesus the harvester, we talked about how the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, and we just made a plea for us to pray earnestly for the harvest. And then the next message, that's what we did in that time. We put up these different people groups, and we split up, and we just prayed for these people groups, praying for the harvest. And if you remember all of these people groups that we prayed for, I think we've flashed up like 20 different ones, were all minority groups represented here in America. Then we talked about the gospel introduction. We were transferring our thought process on evangelism, because sometimes it's easy to think of evangelism as a gift, but when we looked at Scripture, we see it being more of a spiritual, not a spiritual gift, but more of like a discipline or a command. And not necessarily just, oh, you're gifted in evangelism. Our responsibility is to tell the good news. Ultimately, Christ is the soul winner. Then we got really practical in ways of sharing the gospel, and I'm not going to read through that. We looked at the gospel, the big picture. Jesus, what do you want to show me about believe, repentance, receive, death, burial, resurrection, new life? And we were asking the question, Jesus, what do you want to show me in that? Then we looked at the unspoken gospel. This is the gospel that doesn't have words, but this is our life. What is different about your life when you put the coffee on in the morning and you go throughout your day? What is different because Christ is in you versus the person that puts the coffee on and starts our day and Christ is not in you? So love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, lend with no return, be merciful. And remember, those were the four points that we pulled out of Luke. There's many more, but those were the things that we got into. And the call of action, hopefully you don't forget, is... And I put it in my calendar then, so I'm gonna double check with you guys. By the end of the summer, invite an unbeliever into your house. Hey, it's good to see family way back there, by the way. All my in-laws back there, it's good to see you guys. Okay, that's my ADD mind. Call to action. Invite an unbeliever to your home. So then here we are, gospel to the believers. So that is to us. And when you look at, you know, these different letters that were written in the Old Testament, you think of them, you know, Romans, you read from the context of this is being written to us as believers, and how does this stuff apply to us? And I'm just going to confess that there is way more here than what we can unpack. And it's going to feel like I'm missing a lot. And I think that's part of why I spent so much time in praying, because it's like, what do we, as this group of Mount Zion, what do we need to know about being, speaking the gospel together as believers? I will go right up front here, say that some of my thoughts have been influenced by Jeff Vanderstot, I think is how he say his last name. He wrote the book Gospel Fluency. I don't know that I've taken any direct thoughts from him, but if you've read the book, you might recognize some of the verbiage, the things that come across as being some things that have really gotten me to think about what does it mean to be fluent in the gospel, and how does that work out. So, why is the gospel to the believers important? I got to make sure that my slides are catching up with me here. You guys will all be in the dust. And I really do apologize for anybody that's listening to the audio. If you're not following the slides, it could be a little bit confusing today because we got a lot of stuff going on with the slides here. Speaking the gospel. So we're going to look, I'm going to give it to you up front here. So when we look at speaking the gospel, basically what we want to come to is that your treasure will follow the heart. And I just thought it was so interesting how Matt talked this morning about the heart. And we're gonna take a look at that. And then there's another part of hearing the gospel. Faith comes through hearing. So we're going to kind of unpack those two different parts. And because, let's face it, if communication works the way that it should, if I'm talking to Brendan and he's talking to me, there should be moments where he's speaking to me and I'm listening, and then I can speak to him and he's listening. That's the way communication works. Now, we all know some instances where there's no listening and both parties are just speaking, right? But the way communication works is that there should be a speaking and a hearing. So we see that, speaking and hearing. So we're going to focus a little bit on hearing the gospel. What does the scripture say about hearing the gospel, and why is that so important to hear the gospel? And again, we're thinking in context of, I'm a believer. Why do I need to hear the gospel? Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So we're going to unpack this a little bit more by using some different scripture here. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, it says, but the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. And I just love the way that it says, you know, so that, you know, the word is near you, it's in your mouth, and it's in your heart so that you can do it. Just pretty matter of fact. Let's not forget those words. So the word, which is Christ, we're near to Christ. We have the mouth of Christ, and our heart is that of Christ. So later on, if we don't follow through with this, Deuteronomy 30, 17, 18 actually tells us, so, but if your heart turns away and you will not hear, we lose that heart. But are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, that aspect of our mouth being used to worship other gods, our mouth will also not be near to Christ. So we lose the mouth. And then I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. So if you perish and you are separated from Christ, you lose the near. So we're looking at the Word, which is Christ, which is Jesus, the flesh. And we want to be near to Him. We want our mouth to reflect Him, and we want our heart to be His. So interesting that that same passage that we just talked about in Deuteronomy, you'll see it here, was also quoted in Romans. And Romans summarized, instead of doing at the end of that where he says, just do it, this is how Romans summarizes it. That is, and I'll show it on the next slide here so you can kind of see. But Romans says, in that place where it says, just do it, that is the word of faith that we proclaim. That is the word of faith we proclaim. So you'll see it here. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Now, I know stuff's probably not clicking yet, but let's continue to unpack this. As we see in Romans 10:17, the verse that we already looked at, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So one of the things I want you to think about is that when I'm hearing something from somebody, whether it's positive or whether it's negative, if Brendan's speaking to me, that is doing something to me. Because so even in just a normal everyday conversation, Brendan is speaking something to me, and if I'm hearing him, I'm hoping that it is producing faith in me, right? He can also say some things to probably decrease or take away my faith, but faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And I studied a lot the context of Romans 17, and it does seem to talk a little bit more to the unbelievers, and you can look at that. But I don't think we're taking it out of context to say that faith comes through hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So let's just put that kind of on the bookshelf a little bit, and let's go to speaking the gospel. What does this look like? So Luke 12:34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I know that I've touched on this a little bit in a past message, but we're gonna touch on it again here. So, where is your heart? How do you know where your heart is? And I know this is very elementary stuff here. Your clue to where your heart is, if you're like, oh man, I wonder where my heart is today. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, where's my first clue? It's what you talk about. Where your heart is you can find a clue to where it is by in what you talk about. So if you primarily spend 90% of your day talking about one particular subject, there's a good chance you'll find your heart there. It's also in what you invest in. So as many of you know, we just moved a couple months ago. And prior to our move, I always went to Lowe's. That was my place. I love Lowe's. Like, that's just a good time, you know, even if I don't go buy anything, you know, just to go look at all the tools and stuff. You know, Lowe's is the place. So when we moved to our new place, we moved really close to Home Depot. Actually, it was kind of problematic because, like, I don't like to go far for anything because I'm a city boy. So, to travel 7 minutes now to Lowe's does not make sense when I can get to Home Depot in 2.5 minutes. So it was kind of hard on me, but I started to go to Home Depot. So this has been happening now for several months. Occasionally I would go to Lowe's, but pretty much, you know, hey, it makes sense. Till I found Holmes Lumber, which is actually 30 seconds from my house. And that was even closer. But anyway, there was a situation where we're doing some renovations in our house, and there was a situation that came up that Home Depot didn't have what I needed, and I was like, score one for Lowe's, I'm going to Lowe's. So this is going to be a big event. You know, I had made my list. I'm going to get some other stuff. I took Emmett with me. We're just going to have, you know, this father-son time at Lowe's. And I get to Lowe's, and I'm just, like, excited to be here. And all of a sudden, that excitement just goes, it just starts going down and down and down. And I'm like, what is going on here? And my experience is starting to go bad. Like, they didn't have the things that I thought I was going to need. Things were not where I thought they were at, so it took extra time to find it. And all of a sudden, I realized that over the months, my heart had not been in Lowe's anymore, because I had not been investing in it, I had not been talking about it, but everything had been kind of transferred over to Home Depot. That's where I was going. That's where I was putting my energies. And so, all to say this little point that has no spiritual significance, to say that you know, if you want to know where your heart is, check where are you investing. What kind of things are you putting time into, resources, money? What are you investing in? That's going to be a good clue to where your heart is, and that will ultimately lead to where your treasure is. So, going back to speaking the gospel, do you want to make something your treasure? Then start talking about it. You can't just all of a sudden make yourself, oh man, I just want this to be my treasure. Be my treasure. No, there's a process of investing. There's a process of talking about it. And this is the whole thing that after 2 hours of praying, God said, I want you to tell Mount Zion, I just want them to talk more about me. That's it. If you want your treasure to be of the kingdom of Jesus, and you're like, oh, it's just a little bit uncomfortable. It can be a little bit awkward. It's a little bit easier to talk about the weather, about sports, about other things. Just start talking about Jesus. Even if it doesn't feel like your treasure is there, just start talking about Jesus. And if you talk and talk and talk more about Jesus, then I really believe your heart is going to start to follow that. So start talking about it. Where do you want your treasure? This is the key here, is to start talking about it. Start investing in it. And when we say investing in it and talking about it, we're talking about Jesus. So let's continue to try to make sure we're tracking here. So we're talking about Christ as the Word. We want to be near. We want to have him be our mouth. We want to have him have our heart. We want to keep the faith. We want to hear. We want to treasure talk, and we want to treasure invest. It's just kind of the terminology that I was putting with that. Like, we want all of this to be part of who we are. So why is it important that we speak and hear the gospel? Hebrews 10:24 to 25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And I just want you to remember that, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So why is it important that we speak all of this? Christ is the Word. We want to be near to Him. We want our mouth to be His. We want our hearts to be His. We want to be kept in the faith through hearing Him. And we want to be part of this treasure talk, treasure investment. But all of this can get crossed out if we're not speaking and if we're not hearing. We can just go ahead and scratch all of this stuff out if we're not speaking and if we're not hearing. To help each other grow in areas where there's unbelief. So I just want you to, I'm going to slow down a little bit here so I can collect my thoughts. But we all have areas in our lives where we have unbelief. And we're going to unpack that a little bit more to see what that actually looks like. But in a sense, we are all unbelievers in certain areas of our lives. But if we're not continually speaking, if I'm not continually talking to Laverne about Jesus, then I have no way to see where my treasure is, where my heart is. If I'm not continually hearing from you about Jesus, then my faith is not being built up. It's not being increased. So when we start seeing a little bit of our responsibility, your responsibility to me is to speak Jesus so that my faith may be increased. My responsibility to you is to speak Jesus so that my treasure and my heart line up. We're going to keep thinking about that concept, but let's talk about this whole unbelief thing. Some of you not quite sure about this. So we all have areas of unbelief, so we're just going to take a few. So some of us can face anxiety. Some of us feel the need to control. Some of us deal with crippling fear. Some of us yield to temptations. Some of us give away to anger. But there are all things that I'm just going to go through and proclaim some of the promises for some of these. So if you face anxiety, 1 Peter 5, 6, 7 says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you." When we face anxiety and we let it overtake us, we're forgetting the gospel. Another one, Philippians 4, 6. "Do not be anxious about some things." No, about anything. "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, be made known to God." If you feel a need to control, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him." Doesn't say acknowledge yourself. It says acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." 2 Timothy also gives us a promise here, 1 verse 7. "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." Amen. "For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." When we feel, when we struggle to yield to temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you that is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with a temptation, he will always provide a way of escape that you may endure it. So when you yield to temptation, it's because you become an unbeliever. You've forgotten the promise that Jesus has given us. When you give away to anger, Romans 12:19, beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. What causes anger to stir up within us? It's because we feel like we've been violated. We've been wronged. We were told not to avenge ourselves. God's going to take care of that for us. We can rest in him. So how do we speak the gospel to each other? I think it starts with us simply, if we want to start at a starting place, it's just simply talking about Jesus to each other. So that there's this speaking and hearing, that there's this connection there. I really wanted to go into some more practical, like, how do we actually do this? Like, if someone comes to you and says, oh, Austin, my life is horrible. It's falling apart. What do I say to them? Do I just, you know, I'm falling apart and I'm getting really angry about it. Do I just go up to them and say, oh, you know, Romans 12:19 says, beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to, you know, that's not going to get you very far, just to quote scripture. That's not necessarily what it means to speak the gospel. So, I'm not sure if we're going to have yet another message, if God is going to ask me to speak more on that, or if we're actually going to wrap up the series when we actually look at the practical ways of actually entering in to people's afflictions. And you know, one thing I will say is someone was just sharing a story with me last week that somebody was sharing a hard time that they were going through, and one person just met their need because they didn't quote scripture, they didn't say, you know, just trust in the Lord, all things will work together for good. They just said, I'm sorry those things happened to you. It is not right that this happened to you. And that person began to weep with this other person and entering into their sorrow. And I think those are some of the things that are very practical, but we're not going to be going there this morning. Because I think if we would talk about Jesus every day and have it scattered in our everyday daily conversation, I think we would continue to have more confidence about where our treasure is, and our faith would continue to be built up. And I think that as we, I'm just gonna start bringing it to a close here. I'm not gonna continue on in this. Gospel to the believers. We speak the gospel, your treasure will be there. Hear the gospel, and your faith will be increased. And so, this is the call of action. If there's anything that I want us to get from this message as a church, let's just talk more about Jesus. Let's talk about what he's doing in our corner of the world. Let's talk about ways that we've seen him. And you know what? I failed in this because Tim, bless his heart, came over to our house the other day to help set a window for us, and he did a fantastic job. And this was on the tip of my lips, and I don't know why, I just never talked about it, but he was sharing some things that he was going through, and I wanted to ask, so how have you been seeing Jesus through all of this? And I don't know why. And I failed in that. But that's an area that I want to grow in. That when people share things, just ask them, how are you seeing Jesus? Like, talk about Jesus. Because I think if we would do this, I think we would see less and less of a need to go to professional counselors. I think Joe and Melinda would agree that if the gospel was bespoken in churches, that you see people come brokenhearted to you asking for help, if people would be speaking the gospel to each other in their own churches, they probably wouldn't need you. And I'm not saying that there's a place, and we need that. We need what professional counseling has to offer. But I think, I not just think, but I know that if we would be intentional about entering into people's sorrows, entering into people's hardships, that we could all be unified, speaking the gospel to each other, that some of the need for some of that would probably just disappear. So yes, this message isn't going to tell you a lot of practical ways of how to go about like actually speaking the gospel to other believers, but we're going to start with talking more about Jesus. And it may feel a little bit weird, it may feel a little bit awkward. Let's just do it. Somewhere I thought there was a scripture that said something about, you know, just doing it. God, thank you so much for this morning. God, I thank you for your goodness and your love. God, I feel like I'm still trying to unwind. There's so much that you want to speak through us. But God, I believe that so much of finding healing, increasing our faith, testing to see if our heart and treasure are in alignment, is wrapped around this whole idea of speaking and hearing to each other, to actually want to talk about Jesus, not just doing it because the preacher said so, not just doing it because it sounds like a good religious thing. But God, I just pray for each one of us that you get us to a place where we just want to talk more about you and what you are doing in our hearts and in our lives. I just pray that you would give each one of us the boldness and the love to talk about you. In Jesus' name. Amen.